Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket podcast coverage of the TBT 2020. It's win or go home, and $1 million US is on the line, and the winner takes all. My co-host, Andrew Canyon, and I will be watching and breaking down every game from the tournament from an NBL and Australian perspective. Follow me on Twitter for NBL and TBT updates. That's at NBL Pocket Pod, P-O-D. And follow Andrew too at Andrew Canyon. That's Canyon, C-A-N-I-O-N. Are you in the business of buying a book? Try Booktopia. They have nearly 1,000 entries under the search basketball, but they have more than just sports books. They have everything and are based out of Sydney, Australia. Use the link in the description to help the podcast if you'd be so kind. Also, in the spirit of helping the show, rate, review, and subscribe. Any combination of all three is much appreciated. But right now, let's jump into it.
Hi, everybody. This is Andrew Canyon, flying solo for the NBL Pocket podcast today. Joe has given me the keys. Let's hope I don't crash this thing. Today, we're talking day 7 of TBT, the basketball tournament. And day 7 of the tournament, day 1 of quarterfinals. So it's important for us to run down these two games. Yesterday we had a bit of an administrative error. We were thinking there was just a single game today. So goes to show, you can always make mistakes, and perhaps we should pay for better administrators running our show. Nevertheless, here we are today. We've got two games on the menu. Quarterfinals. First of all, we had the number 12 ranked Brotherly Love up against number 4 ranked Golden Eagles. Brotherly Love featuring NBL players DJ Newball, Ramon Moore. And the Golden Eagles featuring no NBL players, but one player who mentioned he might be interested in coming to Australia. Darius Johnson Odom on the Twitter mentioned that he wouldn't mind coming to Australia to play. So any NBL scouts out there, maybe get on the blower and have a chat with him and see if he's keen to participate in our league, because he's a pretty handy player. The other game on the menu today was House of Pain up against Red Scare. The first thing I noticed about the Brotherly Love Golden Eagles game was the both benches were extremely vocal. Lots of encouraging, calling plays, shouting at each other, telling them what to do. It's really noticeable today that the benches were right into it. I guess that's a sign that the games, the intensity is stepping up, the quality of play is improving, and more bench involvement is needed as the lure of the $1 million gets ever, ever closer. Notice in the first quarter, the Australian NBL finally got a shout out in the commentary from the commentary booth. Fran Fraschilla mentioned DJ Newball had been playing in the NBL. He then went on to talk about the fact that he was Defensive Player of the Year. So that was great. Unfortunately, probably not the best game to draw attention to the NBL, because DJ didn't have a particularly great game. And it just wasn't the one I would like to have seen the NBL highlighted in. But we'll get what we can get and live with it. So at the end of the first quarter, it was 20-19. It was just a defensive grind, really. Wasn't a lot of spectacular play happening. Probably the only highlight did come from DJ Newball, as he beat the shot clock for a corner three, and that was about it in terms of highlight plays. 20-19 going into the first. In the second, a couple of highlights I noticed. You had Ramon Moore posting up a little guard, Andrew Rousey. He didn't take advantage of the mismatch, though. He tried to pass it out of that post-up, and it led to a turnover and a score at the other end. Then Brotherly Love, Caleb Wyatt got going. He scored a 3 and then a 2 and 1. But really, it remained a battle of the defences. The most disappointing aspect of this quarter was seeing DJ Newball not realising the shot clock, or the game clock, I should even say. It was right at the end of the quarter. They just had to milk the clock for one last play. Instead, inexplicably, he attacked the rim and was called for a charge. Golden Eagles didn't manage to score at the other end, but it just didn't sort of showed where the mind of DJ Newball was today. Just wasn't quite tuned into the game. So that went into the half. Again, a real grind, because we'd gone from 20-19 at the quarter to 41 41-40 in favour of the Golden Eagles at the half. So really tight. There was really no obvious winner coming out of this at the half. But I did notice that Golden Eagles seemed to be better organised, better structured, and just had more potential, I thought. In the third quarter, you had Sam A. Givens starting to turn up. I got to admit, the thing I found really interesting in the third quarter was the interview with Kyle Lowry. He seems like a really good dude. And I didn't know, and he declared it in his interview, that he's related to Ramon Moore. So just an interesting show of how the small nature of the basketball world, everybody seems connected to somebody else. In the third quarter, the Golden Eagles really started to take over the game. They started to demonstrate how well drilled they were. It really seemed like they, as an alumni team, it was almost like they had an opportunity to fall back on some of the plays and the knowledge they had gained by playing together at college. Brotherly love, not quite with that same chemistry, and struggling to really have an impact in this third quarter. Basically, it really fell apart. They started to look very sloppy, and that was reflected in their scoreline for the third quarter. The overall scores were 24 points to the Golden Eagles versus only 8 for Brotherly Love, and that was really the end of the game as a competition at this point, because we went into the third 65-49 for the Golden Eagles. Going into the fourth, Golden Eagles again showing their intelligence on the court. They worked the clock, they slowed the ball down, they were very well controlled. And Brotherly Love, in response, they were trying to score twos when really they needed threes to get back into the competition. They just didn't, the clock was against them and they couldn't do it. So we reached the Elam ending and it was 75 to Golden Eagles, 64 Brotherly Love, with an 83-point target. Then the Elam sort of kicked in a little bit. The psychology of the Elam once again. You have Brotherly Love with nothing to lose, and you have the Golden Eagles with the pressure of expectation. And things started to turn around a little bit. You could see the Golden Eagles tightening up, Brotherly Love playing a bit loose, and they started to make a bit of a comeback. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough. The final score in the Elam ending was 12 points to Brotherly Love, Golden Eagles with 8. So the margin was trimmed, but the final score, 83-76, Golden Eagles move on. Brotherly Love and our NBL representation of two players go home, leave the bubble empty-handed. One of the things that came out of this as a question for me was, I know they talk about different regions of the United States having styles of play. They mentioned Philadelphia, obviously, Brotherly Love being a Philadelphia-based team. Philly's known for its tough, no-nonsense basketball, and they take great pride in that. New York, history of playground basketball, attacking the rim, good passing point guards, not so much for the outside shooting. They always blame the outdoor courts and so whatnot for not providing the opportunity to really be an outside scorer. So lots of attacking point guards from New York. Indiana, they're known for structure and shoot, really good shooting. Well-drilled teams in Indiana. Got me thinking, Australia, do we have a style of play that is regional at all? I don't think we do. They always talk about Australian players being known for their toughness and their grit and determination. And I think that's a great credit. But I don't think we have any regional differences. I can't think that there's a difference between the way a kid in Perth plays the game versus the way a kid in Queensland plays. I know we talk about Melbourne being the home of basketball, but is it a different style? I don't think so. And it would be nice if there was, but I guess we just all seem to approach the game in a very similar way. So a little bit of a question for you. If you've got thoughts about how Australians play the game, let us know. What do you think? Hit us up on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod or at Andrew Canyon. Tell us what you think about the styles of play in Australia. I'd be curious to know. So Golden Eagles advance into the semifinals, and who will join them in those semifinals? We had House of Pain, the 16th ranked team, versus Red Scare, the number 8 ranked team. House of Pain, with a small element of NBL representation. They had Nana Egwu playing for them, the big centre out of Cairns. They also have two players, favourites of the NBL Pocket Podcast, the Dorminator, Mike Dorm, and Feliz. Really good point guard, young player, shows lots of potential. Really like the look of him. Red Scare, I consider them basically the no personality team. Seriously, there is nothing about this team that really gets me interested or excited. They are as vanilla teams come. Really hard to buy into what Red Scare are putting on the court. So we opened up the game. My first point was that Dorm was hit a ridiculous shot. A couple of dribbles, a pivot, sort of a leaning jump shot went in. Fantastic. Then you had Feliz hitting the O boards and getting putbacks. It was, looked like a good, solid start for the House of Pain. Red Scare. Landers, Trey Landers, number four, an athletic guard. He looked like he was pretty good. We went back to Dorm. He was showing the full package at this moment in the first quarter because he hit a nice jump hook. Had me thinking about him as a Nick Kay replacement for the Perth Wildcats again. It was sort of a Nick Kay style move as he backed in and threw that jump hook in. And then Dorm stepped out and hit a corner three. Made me think, yes, definitely, let's get him in. And for Red Scare, really the guy making a bit of a show was Ryan Mike Sell. He was the guy hitting a couple of threes, keeping them in the game. We went to the quarter time. It was 22 Red Scare, 17 to House of Pain. Moving into the second quarter, Feliz stayed active on the offensive boards. He got one where he spun back and put in a two-point shot. Really impressive for a small, young guy. He was just incredibly active on the boards. For Red Scare, we had the arrival of Devin Oliver. He started to really show up and he got his name onto the board in the second quarter and really just carried on. He became close to the player of the game, I would suggest, for Red Scare. I continue to want to say Red Square. They're not the Russian team at all. They are just an American team. Just my enunciation is failing me. We went into the half 38-32 to Red Scare, still just maintaining that slight lead. Really, this game not reaching any great heights at this point. It was a bit of a struggle to watch and enjoy it. Moving into the third, the guy I mentioned earlier, Devin Oliver, he copped one in the plums. Poor guy. We never like to see that as a player. You know it's painful. You know you've got to just shake it off. Poor bloke. They gave him a moment. He recovered. He was fine. We had a bit of a highlight in this quarter. Red Scare called for a 30-second shot clock violation. I am not sure I've seen one of those yet in this tournament. Usually it's lucky to get down to 15, let alone zero. So it goes to show they were really running sets, working through, being very patient. Meanwhile, for House of Pain, Nana Egwu hit three. Crazy. And then probably the highlight of this quarter was Trey Landers for Red Scare at the buzzer. A three-point shot went up, rimmed out. He came flying down. There was no box out on him. And he put it back with a little soft jam at the buzzer. So we went into three-quarter time, 58-49. Just seemed that Red Scare had this one under control. House of Pain just didn't seem to be able to find a way to get through their defensive pressure. They were really well-drilled, Red Scare. Again, good defensive team. Not much excitement at the offensive end. And again, very little personality. Moving into the fourth, Dorm, the Dorminator, not dominating at all. After that hot start, he disappeared. For Red Scare, they brought in Ryan McMahon off the bench. Little point guard. Maybe he's a shooting guard. He's definitely a shooting guard. Whether he can play point, I don't know, but he can shoot. Do not give that man daylight. He was started to knock him in from everywhere. And it turned out at this point, the game was essentially over. With 5:42 left in the game, 5 minutes 42 seconds, the score had blown out to 72-50 in favour of Red Scare. It was essentially over as a contest. So 542, yep, 72.50. We got to the Elam ending. It was 74.55. And so the target was set at 82. An impossible mission for House of Pain. Red Scare just had to continue to play regular basketball, and it was pretty much inevitable that they would win the game. But this, again, highlights the beauty of the Elam ending. Because do you think it was easy for Red Scare to get those 8 points they needed? Nope, it wasn't. Slowly but surely, House of Pain just worked their way back. Two-point basket. They didn't really go for the threes, which I thought was a bit surprising, and perhaps a bit of a strategic error sometimes. But then they didn't really have their shooting touch on today, so maybe it was a sensible decision to keep attacking. Not only did they attack, they cranked up the defense, really putting pressure on Red Scare to make shots. And in return, Red Scare just stopped making anything. They couldn't get that last bucket. It got to a point where they were, with a target of 82, they were stuck on 80 for maybe 10 possessions. Could have been more. I'm not sure. It was a lot, though. They kept missing and missing, and House of Pain were getting the defensive boards, running down, scoring another two, creeping forever back. Just when you thought they had a sniff, Mike Dorm, the Dorminator, he has a chance. Three-point shot opens up for him. He takes it. Mike Dorm missed. Again, we go down the other end. Red Scare, miss again. Mike Dorm, three-point shot opportunity. He goes. Miss. Poor Mike Dorm. What's he doing to us? Missed two threes. Finally, Trey Landers got a breakout dunk for the win. So he popped up again. The final score, 83-76. A scoring explosion, 21 points to 9 by House of Pain in the Elam ending stage of the game. 21 to 9. They still couldn't get it done, though. They dug too much of a hole for themselves. And House of Pain go home empty-handed. Red Scare, team no personality, move on to the semi-finals. Got to say, of the two games today, I enjoyed the Brotherly Love Golden Eagles game. Didn't so much love House of Pain and Red Scare. Little factoid from today's two games, both scorelines identical at the end of the play. 83 points for both winners, 76 points for both losers. Looking at tomorrow's two games, this is the day that Joe and I are both pretty excited about. We have the overseas elite team, quality team, lots of NBA representation on that squad, 6 players, I believe, going up against America's sweetheart team. Ah, screw that. Australia's sweetheart team. Heard that. The Elmore brothers up against the NBA overseas elite. Going to be a great one to watch. I love a Cinderella story. I'm sure we all do. So tune into that one. Is at 2 a.m. Western Standard Time. Because I'm here alone, I can lead with the Western time. So that would be 4 a.m. in the East Coast. Second game of the day. Boeheim's Army up against Sideline Cancer. Really quite like Sideline Cancer. Sort of a bits and pieces team, but they've got some good point guard play. Looking excited to seeing if they can take it to Boeheim's Army. That game tomorrow, 4 a.m. Western Standard Time and 6 a.m. Nice little breakfast starter for you in the East Coast. Looking forward to both of those games. Tomorrow, I'm pretty certain that Joe and I will be able to be joining you to break those two games down, have a little conversation about what we think as the semi-finals will then have taken shape, and we'll be ready to see who's moving on towards the $1 million. So just to summarise the bracket as we now stand, as we move into the pointy end of the tournament, we've got one semi-final matchup sorted now. It's Red Scare up against the Golden Eagles on one side of the bracket for the semi-final. Winner goes through to the grand final. On the other side of the bracket, we have Overseas Elite up against Heard That, Beheim's Army up against Sideline Cancer. The winner of those two teams will play each other to decide the winner going through to the grand final. So it's really getting to the pointy end now, really sharpening up. Quality of players improving. Notice the defensive pressure has increased. Players can start to smell that money, and they are getting excited. Promises for a great few days of tournament play left. Really looking forward to continuing to break it down. Play along with us. Don't forget to reach out on Twitter. You can reach the show at MBL Pocket Pod on Twitter. I am Andrew Canyon at Andrew Canyon. And we will look forward to seeing what the tournament brings next. TVT 2020. Excitement rolls on. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Once more, follow me and Andrew on Twitter. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And if you're in the business of buying a book, use booktopia.com via the link in the description. Thanks very much, and I'll see you next time.